Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I feel like I am taking crazy pills, bro.
Crazy pills.
Seriously, that's exactly what I feel like here on a Friday. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we are hanging out with you until noon. Shout out to everybody listening on ESPN 1320 AM. We love and appreciate you. Everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, love and appreciate you. Maybe you're listening like on the website. Love and appreciate you as well. And of course, everybody watching on YouTube.com/ESPN1320, Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We love and appreciate all of you as well for rocking with us here on a Friday. I feel like I am going insane, James.
All right.
This is so, I have a whole thing to talk about with this tire on my car, but I'm skipping it because the 49ers got a massive win last night.
Yes.
I went so far, I and a lot of other people, went so far as, and I believe you did too. I think you were on board with me.
I was.
It was a must-win game. You needed to get that game last night. Come hell or high water, figure out a way to walk out of Seattle, walk out of Lumen Field with a W.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers did that. They were up 20 in the third quarter. It got a little dicey. It did get a little dicey, and we'll talk about it. But the Seahawks never had the ball in a one-score game on the in 49ers territory, on the 49ers side of the field. It got to 6 points, but they were never in danger of smoking that lead.
Mm-hmm.
They did what they had to do. They made the plays they needed to make to close the game out and walk out of Seattle with a W on a short week on the road against a division opponent with all of the injury stuff we've been talking about with the 49ers. No Tre'Davious Ward last night. Christian McCaffrey's been out. Javon Hargrave's out. Jake Moody, Talanoa Hufanga, they are dealing with so many injury problems on the road on a short week in a division game that they needed to have, and they went and got it. They played at the end of that game the best game, the best I thought they've played at the end of a game all year. They did all of the things we've been asking to do. Hey, against the Rams, can you make two more plays down the stretch to close that game out? Hey, against the Cardinals, can you make two more plays down the stretch to close that game out? And then they did it. They did it last night in Seattle, and I'm on the postgame show on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, and people are calling, complaining. Complaining about what the win. Oh, it got close, and oh, it was this, and oh, but this guy did that. And oh, my God. We have lost the plot entirely.
Yes.
Somebody called in and goes, I'm not excited about 3-3. You don't have to be. But you should be excited about 3-3 in relation to the fact that the alternative was 2-4.
Yes.
It just, dude, I feel I you know me. We've done hundreds of shows together.
That's right.
You know exactly where I land as a fan in terms of like toward the negative side.
Yes. You're a pessimist. Yes.
I am. I lean pessimism. I'm the exact type of person that you would expect to be like, yeah, but. And I can't get there. It was a huge win.
I think it was a huge win, too. I think it was a total, a huge win. You had big plays by young players. The Guerrero run at the end of the game, the interceptions by the two young defensive backs, just like guys stepped up in crucial moments and made plays, and that's what you've been waiting for. And if the guys that are in place can't get it done, somebody else has to step up and do it. And to have it be, like, realistically on this team, like no-name guys, to step up and come through in the clutch, for Guerrero to step in when you've got no Mason and put up 99 yards, including a crazy run at the end of the game to seal the win. Just absolutely huge. For Kittle to step up and for Juszczyk to get a touchdown late. Like, all of these things. Brock Purdy threw three touchdowns. No interceptions, no turnovers for him. I thought that this was a very, very good overall team win. And, like, look, could it have been easier? Could you have not, you know, had a kick return for a touchdown?
Sure.
And once again, allow your special teams to, like, just be under a microscope? Sure, that could have happened. But overall, I thought it was a very, very good win. And I don't really feel like it was in doubt. I think the only reason why anyone felt like it was in doubt is because of the loss to the Rams and the loss to the Cardinals.
That's exactly it, dude.
You would have been like, oh, no, there's no way they're losing this game. But in the back of your head, well, they did lose those other two games when they were up 10.
Exactly.
Yep.
And that's why that was encouraging last night, because they changed the script. Oh, they are capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's and that's why last night mattered so much to me. Is the maximized version of the 49ers taking care of business without it getting to 6 points? Like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But at this point, I'm not asking for, and I understand the people who are looking ahead and going, well, this is still not a team that's going to win a Super Bowl. I'm right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they still make too many little mistakes, and they're still too banged up. I just, that's not, but on the other hand, it's not about, are they a contender in week six? It's about, can they string together a couple of wins here to keep themselves from falling in a rut that they can't climb out of?
Yes.
Historically, I've said this a million times, and I'm going to say it again. Under Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers are under 500 in October.
Mm.
They're over 500 comfortably in every other month. October, below 500. Yes, absolutely. They play their best football in November and in December. What this is about, what the next two games here in October are about, it's against the Chiefs and the Cowboys. Those are two very tough opponents. If you go into those games and start to play a little bit better and give yourself a chance where you can go into your bye week, even at 4-4, and give yourself a chance to play good football down the stretch where you can finish at the top of the NFC West, where you're getting a home playoff game, like, that is what this is about. It's not, hey, they turned into a Super Bowl contender. And look, they blow the lead against the Cardinals in week five and then turn around and have a game 4 days later on the road. There was not a major change, a major shift that was going to happen where you all of a sudden went, there it is, Super Bowl team. It's unrealistic. But can you piece it together? And can you avoid falling into the trap that, dude, the energy at the building in San Francisco last night was tense. It was bad. I'm sitting there. I'm like, yo, I've got to get on the fire Kyle Shanahan train if they lose this.
Mm.
There's no, if you do this again, there's just no justifying it. Like, maybe they've just fallen in a hole that they'll never be able to climb out of. Maybe all the gut wrenching losses at the end of seasons have finally caught up to them, but they galvanized. It started. So the Seahawks get the touchdown to Kenneth Walker at the end of the third quarter, near the end of the third quarter, to make it 23-17.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers punt on their next possession. Mitch Wishnowsky drops the punt on the 3-yard line. Special teams comes through in a big way. Defense then steps up, gets a stop with Renardo Green getting the interception, returns it to the 15. Okay, now it's the offense's turn. They're in the red zone where they have struggled all year.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with a touchdown that they absolutely had to have.
Yes.
Made it a 2-score game. So all three phases that have all failed in various aspects of all these losses came through when they needed to. And that's why I can't get behind the idea that this was some disaster because it got to 6 points. Like, yeah, it got to 6 points, and there's things we can talk about that they need to take care of. But dude, they made the plays. I care about the plays that were made, not the plays that almost might have happened.
Yeah. Well,
and that's what was different to me.
Yeah, I would say like there are like these little moments where you're worried that this team is going to like falter again. You know, you can't start out the third quarter in such like spectacular fashion, go downfield and score a touchdown with George Kittle, and then give up the kick return. You just can't have it. And at the same time, like your kickers are for some reason. They're the guys who have to make tackles because your special teams play is so bad. So now you might be down another kicker because you can't do the basics on a kick return. It just really, like, that's where it keeps coming back to. Like, there are these little missteps where, again, they could have got to the end of a game and maybe not had, well, I guess they did have a kicker late in the game. But, you know, he heads to the locker room and he's in pain and probably won't be able to play this week. And they're probably going to have to sign another kicker. Although they do have a little bit of time here. So that's good, but still, I think that there were enough like little things. I don't want to nitpick on the win, but I do want to say, like, man, can you figure out the special teams thing? Can you just figure it out?
Okay. Okay. Let's go there.
I just like
Brian Schneider gotta go, dog. Like, we got a 49ers win to talk about and a bunch of good stuff that happened in that game. We've got a Kings preseason game tonight at Chase Center against the Warriors that we got to dive into. This is going to be a fun show. We got Fantasy Friday coming up. Faraz Siddiqui at 10:30 in about 20 minutes. Answering your fantasy football questions. Get them in now at youtube.com/ESPN1320. We'll answer as many of those as we possibly can. Brian Schneider, the 49ers special teams coordinator, has to go.
Yeah.
This is, in the last 5 weeks, there has been at least one special teams blunder. Not even counting a missed field goal by Jake Moody in week 3.
Yeah.
There were other special teams issues in that game. Not even counting I guess that's it. I guess that's the one you can't count. I was going to take away the Robert Beal one where he ran into the punter. But like, even that's a coaching point.
Yeah.
It just
what are we doing?
So I look, they got to win. That was awesome, and we're going to have fun. But, like, I don't know how you're Kyle Shanahan, and you turn around, and your team went up 23-3. They're up 16-3 at halftime, right? And good on the defense for coming up with a stop at the end of the half to hold Seattle to a field goal there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Niners get the ball coming out of the half, and 9 plays, 70 yards in 4 minutes and 53 seconds make it a 20-point game. Seattle's offense was not moving the ball well.
Nope.
The biggest thing you can't do there is allow a big return, much less a touchdown.
Yeah, you gave them life. Like,
yeah, man.
They were, if the game was over, they were toast. You gave them life. Like, what are you doing? I just like
in a spot that you just that's like that feels imminently fixable.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. There's just no way. And this is 2 years in a row now, by the way. Last year in Seattle, Thursday night, the Niners go up 7-0. Seattle responds with a massive kick return that put him in, I think it put him in inside the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a problem, and it has been. I just don't know how you continue rolling this out there and going like, oh yeah, special teams is fine as long as they don't lose us a game. Like, bro, they almost lost you a game.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I just want to see them kick it out of the back of the end zone every single time. Just will on the ball. Like, I don't care if it goes to the 30, right? I don't care. Give up the yardage because you can't stop anybody, and the only one who is stopping anybody is a kicker, and then they can't get up.
Bro, Matt Wright, their new kicker, I don't know that he can kick it out the back of the end zone.
Then have Wisnowski kick it out of the back of the end zone. I don't care who kicks it.
I don't know that he can.
Kyle Juszczyk can kick it out of the back of the end zone. I don't care who's doing it. Somebody get out there and kick it out of the back of the end zone. I'm done dealing with bad special teams play.
You want them to line up at practice, all 53 guys and the practice squad guys, and see who can kick it out of the back of the end zone. And whoever does it, you're doing kickoff.
Yeah, who's got the biggest leg? Who has the biggest leg here? Raise your hand if you played soccer. Like, any of you. Who kicked in high school? Like, whoever it is, I don't care. Somebody kicked the ball out of the back of the end zone.
there's a ton of stuff to get to from this game, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on Matt Wright, the kicker that's replacing Jake Moody.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a kicker with a more old man golf game when it comes to kicking field goals?
He just looks like a kicker. He looks like a 1980s kicker for sure.
Yes, dude. Yeah. And he, you ever golf with a guy who's like 80 and you're going, man, how does this guy get it down the course? And then he lines up with his driver and with an 80-year-old's golf swing, just pipes it.
Like 180, but right down the middle of the fairway, right in the perfect spot.
Yep. Then he's going to grab his iron. Same deal. He's going to hit that thing. He's going to hit his four iron. He's going to hit it 130 yards right down the middle. Yeah. He's going to chip it onto the green. And it's like that's how their kicker looked last night to me.
Yeah.
Every field goal was right down the middle, but like not nearly like 35 yarder is just clearing the crossbar.
Oh yeah, that's not great.
Not comfortable.
No. It's almost better that he did get injured, so now they can find someone else to kick this next week. So
that is uncanny. Two weeks in a row, their bad special teams coverage has gotten a kicker hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, I mean, come on, man.
The last thing you need to do as an NFL team is to have your kickers out doing tackling drills. No, you're supposed to like teach a guy how to push a guy out of bounds. Like just get tangled up in his legs so he falls. How about that? Yeah. No.
Like, yeah, no. I just dive, and if he happens to trip over you, fine. If not, then
we understand.
The rest of the team didn't do their job.
That's right. Everyone else outweighs you by 60 pounds at a minimum. You did your job. Just run out there and fall down somewhere.
I've called out Nick Bosa a couple times this year, telling him or saying that he needed to take over a game. He took over that game last night about as much as a defensive end can take over a game.
Yeah.
He had 14 pressures. That's what Pro Football Focus had him down for, which is incredible. An insane. If you have seven, if you have half of that, it's like, dang, what a game.
Mm-hmm.
14. He had a couple of tackles for loss. He was blowing up run plays left and right. He forced the first interception. It was his hit on Geno Smith that forced that high throw.
Yep.
There was one drive. It was after the 49ers. It was after the 49ers had punted in a 6-point game, and the Seahawks came down and got a first down. And it's in a spot where, like, this is getting out of hand. Like, they need a stop here. If the Seahawks score, they're going to win this game kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They get a first down, 3-yard run, 9-yard run. And then Nick Bosa perfectly reads a screen and forces a throwaway on a screen on first down.
Yep, after he picked off a screen last week.
Yes. And Geno Smith went, nope, don't want to do that. So he reads the screen, forces a throwaway, illegal man downfield, declined, second down. On second down, they try to run it, and he crashes down from the defensive end spot, beats his blocker, gets down, tackle for no loss in the middle of the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable play. Third down, pressure, forces a throwaway, Seahawks punt. Like, Nick Bosa single-handedly forced a punt on that series.
Yeah.
And I can't. Did he have a sack? No. And that's kind of what we've been saying. Like, dude, you got to get the quarterback on the ground. But when the quarterback's not going on the ground because he's just throwing the ball into the dirt because you're on him so fast, like, that counts.
Yeah, it does.
Like, that, I'll take that every single time.
I'm with you.
He was awesome. Other thing, I think Nick Sorensen's seat cools off a little bit. I thought they had a really, really good plan last night.
Mm-hmm.
Geno Smith had been excellent this year, and the 49ers just kind of shut the faucet off on some of the deep ball stuff that he was really good at. And
I thought they were physical with Metcalf in a really, really good way. They hit him as the ball arrived. I thought that was good. I also thought that there were multiple plays where the 49ers just grabbed a wide receiver and carried him out of bounds on a throw in the end zone. And it was like, first of all, Metcalf, hey man, don't jump when you're going in the back of the end zone. If you jump, like, you're just 225 pounds of floating like feather, like, they just shove you out of bounds. Like, all right, what are you going to do? So I thought that there was some really bad wide receiver play, but on top of that, I thought the 49ers defensive backs, they had a game plan to deal with a like a tremendously huge human being who has been tearing up everybody. And that was to get to him quickly while the ball's still in the air. And then also to chuck him as soon as he got anywhere near the out of bounds or the back line, whatever it was. I thought they did a tremendous job on him.
Yep. Yep. They were, defensively, I don't think they could have done a lot better last night, especially, man, the Seahawks really committed to running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Kenneth Walker had 5 rushing attempts against the Giants in a game where they ran like 68 plays or something insane like that.
Yeah.
They ran it 20 times last night, and it felt like there were so many drives where they went, okay, we're running it on first and second down no matter what. And the Niners did a good job of keeping them in third and long.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal, especially after the way James Conner cooked him in the second half of week 5. I thought that was huge.
Yeah, Kenneth Walker, 14 carries, 32 yards, 2.3 yards per rush. Great job.
Yeah. Yeah. Longest run of the night, I think, was 9 yards.
Yeah.
By Zach Charbonnet. Mm-hmm. That's something you'll take every single game. Last thing on this, and then I want to get to the Kings. We've said this multiple times, but it just kind of reared its head on the internet last night, and I've been thinking about it a lot this morning. The discourse around Brock Purdy and just quarterbacks in general is just insane. I'm with data. I'm with analysis. I'm with film. Like I think all that stuff is so interesting. But with Brock specifically, I swear he's the only quarterback. And maybe this is just the bubble I exist in, which is why I'm not. I want to caveat this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe this is just my bubble. Maybe this is just my slice of social media that I only see this stuff, and it happens to everybody else. But he's the only quarterback in the league that when he gets away with a bad play or makes a bad play, where the film watching portion of the internet that believes they're the all knowing group of football watchers, where he makes a bad play or gets away with a bad play, and it's like, see, that's why he's not good. Like, see, that's why he's actually, see, whereas all these good plays, it's like, okay, yeah, well, of course, he's throwing to George Kittle. But then you go watch I watched Jordan Love get hit in the end zone, nearly take a sack, and just throw the ball to nowhere and have it get caught by a Rams defender at the 5 and returned for a touchdown.
Yes.
Where's the breakdown on that? It's like every Brock Purdy bad play, and there are bad plays by Brock. I'm not trying to say he is not an unimpeachable quarterback. He makes some insane throws in a bad way. That happens for sure. But as I watch the rest of the league, literally every other quarterback does that stuff every single game, and I don't see it raked over with this fine-tooth comb the way I see it with Brock. That touchdown throw to Debo, man, that was a bad throw. If Patrick Mahomes made the exact same throw, and I don't want to use Patrick Mahomes because he gets a lot of benefit of the doubt, which is fine. If Jordan Love makes that exact same throw, it's like same decision making, same bad throw. It turns into a touchdown, but it doesn't get film, and it's not like, oh, this is why Jordan Love isn't elite yet.
Yeah.
Like, no, just bad plays happen sometimes. No quarterback is perfect.
What I love about him is there was a play last night I was watching, and I think it was Garendo, or is either Garendo or it was Mason, came out of the backfield on like for a screen pass, but like not a stop, you know, like he was going on a route out of the backfield. And I was watching him like, oh, he's wide open. And then Brock fired the ball like 12 yards downfield to Kittle. And then Kittle was able to go down the sidelines. He like hit a couple of guys, able to get like, it ended up being like, I don't know, it was probably one of his longest catches. So I'm going to guess it was 29 yards, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the whole time I thought to myself, that's what separates him from so many other quarterbacks. The check down, the swing pass was there to the running back, but the next level was there as well. And he plays in that next level so much. And it's what allows the running game to happen. It's that he's always playing in that next level. And so I appreciate what he does.
Yeah, man. I thought he was better at scrambling last night. I think he did run into one pressure. There was one opportunity. I thought he had to step up, but he spun out and created a pressure for himself. At least there's one that I noticed, but I'm sure there were more. I'm so tired of every questionable play Purdy makes gets posted. This is why he's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah,
he's a pretty good player. John Poles wants to know if there's a Jordan Mason update. Yeah, Adam Schefter reported this morning that it is an AC joint sprain. The 49ers don't believe it's serious. He'll get more testing. Kyle Shanahan's supposed to talk at 12:30, so hopefully he'll have a little more info on that. That's kind of the update right now.
It doesn't sound like a long term issue. Yeah.
No, and they get the mini bye here where they don't play again until October 20th. So he'll have a few extra days to rest. And the fact that he had his helmet on and was on the sideline and stuff, trying to kind of work that out, it just kind of makes me think he should be good for next week. But honestly, that last run by Isaac Arendo made me feel a little bit better because that was the kind of run that it had been there for him and he just hadn't hit it yet. It was like, there you go. He got skinny and he got through the block. And I just.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And he's fast. He's fast.
Mitch in New Jersey. I'm at home, man. I don't know what we're doing, man. Get off my back. I'm getting tweets from Mitch like, oh, are the phone lines all busy?
All right.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Goodness me. All right. We'll have plenty of more football stuff to talk about with Faraz Siddiqui coming up. Fantasy Friday coming up next. And we also, we're going to get to this Kings preseason game at Chase tonight. We'll dig into that. What are we watching for? I have an early prediction. And we can talk about this a little later, but I don't believe the Warriors are going to go 28-52 from three tonight.
I also feel like the Warriors are not going to go 28-52. I hope they don't go 29-50, but I don't think we're going to see 20 plus threes made again. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let me just get this in here real quick. Pause. If that happens, I'm overreacting.
Uh-oh.
I'm coming in Monday ready to react.
Kyle's punching stuff.
If they let somebody shoot 53% on 50-plus attempts again.
The good thing is they don't play him again until January. So, I mean, go ahead. Hit your threes.
And plenty of time to fix the three-point defense.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy is going to join us next. We'll have a ton of Kings-Warriors stuff coming up as well in the show. If you would like to ask Faraz a question, hit us up, youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Send your fantasy questions there. We are going to ask some general questions, but specifically this segment is for you to make sure that you're getting W's in fantasy football. Plus, if you're not playing fantasy, Faraz is just fun to talk football with.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to really enjoy that. Fantasy Friday coming up next. We got Kings Warriors for you. We're the Insiders. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. And we're here until noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Welcome back into the Insiders. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. We'll have Fantasy Friday with Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy coming up here shortly. Somebody in the chatty house, and I meant to save it, and I forgot, so I apologize to the person who brought this up. Jay Teasy said, I'm surprised no one is really talking about how horrendous the review was last night. And he's talking about on the punt, where the Seahawks punt returner clearly touched the ball after Chris Conley, the 49ers gunner, was blocked into him. And the explanation was because they showed a couple of replays and it was not conclusive at all. I genuinely had no idea. And I was like, man, this is a bad, there's not, like, I get why they're challenging it. This is a game changing play. If he did touch it, but I don't see a good angle. Well, when they came back from the break, they had the like enhanced view and it very clearly hit him.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very clear that punt returner touched the ball. It should have been 49ers football. They missed it. And the explanation was that the replay review officials did not have access to all of those camera angles. And they got access to that angle as the official was making the call. And so at that point, they couldn't change it.
Oh.
And I don't understand why.
That was weird.
How do you not have in Secaucus or whatever? How do you not have the TV copy just up? I don't like, bro, you can borrow my Prime. You can borrow my Prime login and you can just have you can have all the angles that they have. And if you get that angle that clearly shows that the Seahawks punt returner touched it before you run the next play, you have the Hawkeye system. You have the eye in the sky system, the assisted replay review. How are you not blowing the whistle, stopping it and going, hey, actually, whoops, replay got it wrong. Ball going the other way. It is insane. Absolutely ridiculous. What's not ridiculous is our guy Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website. You can subscribe to Upper Hand Fantasy, the podcast, wherever you get your podcast. But of course, we would prefer you do it on the free Odyssey app. Faraz, I'm hot, bro.
I see that.
It's ridiculous.
This is passion right here. And the 49ers won, man. Okay. So the 49ers won. Just want to let you know they got the dub.
Yeah, no,
but that's what we've been... It was a bad call.
That's all. We've been trying to say, because I do post game for our sister station in San Francisco. The amount of people who called in last night complaining about the win, it's like, really? Hey man, this is too much. I get it, but also this is too much.
If you're a winning franchise, right? Well, I would call the 49ers a winning franchise because I'm a Jets fan. That's what we call teams like that.
Okay.
We say that they're winning franchises. You know, sometimes you need a little bit of drama. Sometimes you need something, you know, to like bring you down a bit so you could chase the good times, you know? So I totally understand. I totally understand what it's like to win. I don't, but that's probably what I'm doing. That's probably my guess. That's my best guess.
James, I'll let you start. You've got specifics. You go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I of course have Mahomes, and I'm on a bye week here for us, and like I've been waiting all week to talk to you here, hoping that you've got some sort of cure for my pathetic quarterback issue. But where are you at? I mean, there are a lot of people who are out there right now who do have Mahomes and maybe aren't carrying a bunch of quarterbacks. Who are you looking at on the waiver wire, and who can actually like suit up this week and give you anything?
Well, I mean, if you're not playing Mahomes this week, that means you just got a quarterback upgrade.
That's probably true.
Like, dang.
When Daniel Jones is an upgrade, it's trouble. Totally
pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so guys who are on waivers, I think Caleb Williams is probably my favorite of the group. You know, Caleb Williams is, you know, going up against Jacksonville in London, and this is a really, really good matchup. Jacksonville is terrible against the pass. And we saw Caleb Williams throw for 300 yards and 2 touchdowns in 2 games this year, 2 out of the last 3, and that's exactly what the Jags are averaging in terms of their defense giving up in the pass game, which is absolutely atrocious. They're the only team in the NFL who is averaging 2 passing touchdowns given up to opposing offenses. So he's one of them. Okay. And if you can't, you know, you don't want to start the rookie, I totally understand. If Justin Fields is available, he's a good one. Kirk Cousins against Carolina is another one. I could totally understand why, you know, you wouldn't want to go in that direction, because Kirk Cousins threw he threw almost 60 times last Thursday night, and that's not sustainable against Carolina. Will he do that? Probably not. Yeah, so those are the guys. Daniel Jones is, believe it or not, is still an option without Malik Nabers in his matchup as well. So those are the guys that I'm looking at, but I think Caleb is probably my favorite of the bunch.
Okay, I got to ask, what about Flacco? Is he going to lose his job this weekend? Is he going to be there? What's going to happen?
Well, Richardson is still a game time decision at this point, even though he did practice in full the last couple days. So my guess is that Richardson's going to play. Here's the thing. Flacco against Tennessee is not my favorite option, you know, to be honest with you. Tennessee's defense has been playing really well. The way Flacco has been playing, you know, over the last like a year, you know, it's like, how can you even bench him, right? Like, you want to start him no matter what, because he's just YOLO Flacco right now, and I love it. I think it's still a little bit of a tough matchup. Is he going to have Pittman? Probably not. Josh Downs, listen, I was so upset that Josh Downs might not be able to play this weekend because of his toe injury, but he is back at practice. It looks like he might be able to play without Pittman. He was already matching Pittman in target share over the last three games. So I actually like Josh Downs a lot this week, despite not looking great on paper, because he plays really, really well against too high safety coverage. But Flacco, you know, is he going to be able to get Alec Pierce deep against the Titans, who've not allowed a ton of deep passing? It's going to be tough. So I would shy away from Flacco this week, personally.
Talking with Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website. Ton of good information there as well. I'm foregoing my own teams this week, and I am just going to ask listener questions this week.
This is another way of James saying that he's already out of it. He's not in playoff contention anymore. It's over. His fantasy season is done.
I'm leading in total points.
James is so offended right now.
I'm like 2-3, but I'm leading in total points. We had the bad start. We're fighting through it.
You know, my home league, we're doing so bad. The injuries are so bad and the buys are so terrible that I'm literally thinking about punting the week. I had George Kittle go up against me last night and two touchdowns, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm just gonna punt it and look to another day.
There you go.
Yeah, I just don't have a ton of questions this week. That's all. I'm doing fine. We're doing okay. And this is for the listener. This isn't for me. Nobody gives a damn about my fantasy team. They give a damn about theirs.
I do, Kyle, because we share a team.
Well, that's our, yeah, but we could, yeah. Anyways, Bryce wants to know if Isaac Arendo's were the pickup with Jordan Mason dealing with the AC joint sprain.
I think so. Now,
stash.
We're not going to know how serious this injury is. It's possible that Mason ends up suiting up next week. It doesn't seem too serious. We've seen running backs play through this injury before. It is possible that he ends up getting a lighter workload, you know, in week 7 if he does end up going. But yeah, I think Guerrero's definitely worth a pickup. Do I spend a lot of fab on him? Spend a number of overall waiver budget, you know, waiver priority on him? I don't know. I would need to know that Mason's going to miss a couple weeks before I do that. And I don't think that's going to happen based on what we know so far.
Faraz, we've talked about this a couple of times, but is DeAndre Swift, is he getting closer to a player that you're willing to buy on again, or are you still way out on him?
Oh man, I mean, I can't be way out on him, right? The way he's performed the last 2 weeks. So after the first blow up game, I'm like, sell him, just get away. After the second one, you're just like, okay, he's kind of playing a lot better and he's getting a ton of targets and catches. And now he's going up against Jacksonville, which is a great matchup. And he is, you know, the Jacksonville's allowing a ton of receptions to running backs. That's his calling card. And they allow a ton of fantasy points to running backs. So how can you, he's in my top 10 this week, which is so off brand for us. It's not even funny. And I feel so bad putting him in there, but he is, you know, he's like my RB8 on the week ahead of Bijan Robinson. Mm-hmm. Ahead of Josh Jacobs, right? Guys like that, you know? So am I buying in terms of like, am I buying him and trying to put him on my roster in a trade? Probably not, just because you have to buy him so high right now. Not interested, but yeah, no, he's going to be in my lineup regardless this week.
Talking about Firas Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy, our guy Andrew wants to know, in a PPR league, is he starting Javonte Williams or Tony Pollard?
I like Pollard a lot, you know, this week. The Colts have really let up on the ground. They're allowing a ton of fantasy points to opposing running backs. So I'm in on Pollard. I think, you know, the one way the Titans are going to try to move the ball is with Pollard coming out the bye. So I think that's where I'm leaning.
Just kind of piggybacking on that, are we seeing, again, whether it's Swift or whether it's Javonte Williams, are we seeing like the rookie quarterback get to a point where they're at least serviceable enough that the running backs are starting to get loose a little bit? Because it kind of feels that way. Early in the season, it's like, we're just going to cut off the run and make these young guys beat us. And now it feels like it's balancing out a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Like in Denver, I'm definitely feeling that a little bit, you know, for sure. And you can see Javonte's efficiency has grown over the last 2 weeks. And it also coincided with them getting some wins and Bo Nix looking a little bit better too, right? So, yeah, I think there is something to that. I think teams aren't necessarily stacking the box as much as they were. I'm with you. I think that's a good call. And, you know, Javonte Williams, like over the last couple of weeks, he looked completely cooked, right? And, you know, now he, you know, over 4 yards per carry the last 2 weeks. And, you know, getting some receptions, he has a pretty high floor, for sure. I just like, in this particular situation, I do like Pollard's ceiling in this game.
I'm going to ask one of my own questions now, or a question that we have here that is not a listener question, just real quick. Are we at the must-start point with Brian Thomas Jr. right now?
Oh, yeah. And this is a very, very tough matchup, right, against the Titans. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. They're missing a couple pieces in their secondary. And one of their corners just went down with an injury yesterday, so he's not going to play. Not only that, and I might have mentioned this on this show before when he was going up against the Browns a few weeks ago, where it was a tough matchup. A lot of people didn't want to start him, but he ended up going over 80 yards. Why? Because the Browns play the most single high coverage among any team in the NFL. And now, you know, he's going same thing this week now. You know, it's a tough matchup, no doubt. But here's the thing, right? Like, Chicago plays, you know, some of the most single high coverage in the NFL. It only takes one play with him. He actually, I think he's eighth, if I'm not mistaken. Let me check exactly where he's at. Brian Thomas Jr. is, yeah, eighth, fourth, I'm sorry, in yards per route run against single high coverage among all wide receivers. So 3.64 is a big, big number. He's being targeted on 27% of his routes against single high coverage as well from his quarterback. So, you know, even with the tough matchup, I'm going to start him. By the way, guys, if you look at all rookie wide receivers from the year 2010, he ranks eighth right now in fantasy points per game among all rookies since then. Malik Neighbors, I think, is number 2 or 1 with OBJ at the top. There's a ton of, no surprise, there's a ton of LSU wide receivers there too. So he's at number 2. Malik Neighbors is at 22.9 fantasy points per game. Brian Thomas Jr. is at number, is at 16.2 at number 8. Ooh. So he's making history.
Yeah, that's wild. Let's get to some of the questions from the crowd here. We Komet or Mark Andrews?
Ooh.
That's tough. Ugh. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go Komet. I would check the waiver wire to see if like someone like K. Dotton is available, maybe. If K. Dotton is available, he made my top 10 this week. Mm. Those guys did not. But I'm going to go Komet. Like I mentioned earlier with Caleb, I think he's going to have a good game against a bad secondary. So Komet, I think, would be the ceiling option for me.
Mm. Yuck. For us to take the upper hand fantasy.
It hurts
because it's not that I feel like, oh man, I'm so superior. Why, how is somebody in that position? I'm just in that position all the time where
I know.
I'm looking at Zabo here. Trey Sermon or Antonio Gibson in a flex. It's like, oh right. God. It's either like a deep league or whatever. But when you're making a decision like that, it's just like, God, I hate fantasy so much. I do it every year.
I have leagues where I'm like, man, I would love some Antonio Gibson right now. Seriously, because I'm like, oh wow, that's kind of nice.
I assume you're going Antonio Gibson over Trey Sermon then.
I am. It looks like Ramondre's not going to play. That's what it seems like.
Dang.
So I'm going to go Gibson this week. you know, because he's been looking good this year. He's been looking efficient. You know, obviously with more volume, the efficiency is going to go down most likely, but he's going to be involved in the receiving game as well. So I do like him, you know, 15 plus touches, you know, maybe 4 or 5 catches. I think it'll be good, even with the rookie at quarterback.
All right, let's get to this Russ Dog question. He was offered in trade Jaden Daniels and A.J. Brown for Sam Darnold and Chris Olave. I did follow up and say, is this a keeper league? And he said no. Keeper league. Go ahead.
This is, was he offered Jaden Daniels and A.J. Brown? I mean, I doubt he was. I'm assuming, I don't know what side of this you're on, Russ Dog, but Jaden Daniels and A.J. Brown is the clear answer here. Pretty easily. AJ Brown is a top, you know, 5 wide receiver rest of the season, and Jaden Daniels is like a top 2 fantasy quarterback rest of the season. So this is pretty easy.
Is that person tanking?
I don't know.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the question was already posed, like, is this like a dynasty league or keeper league or something?
And he said no. He said no. You know?
But listen, even if it was a dynasty league, you're still making this deal regardless, right? Like, still going Jaden Daniels and A.J. Brown regardless.
It's got to be like a Vikings fan. I don't get it. Yeah. All right.
I don't know.
What do you got, Kyle?
Okay.
This is a good question. Alfonso wants to know if he should just drop Ezekiel Elliott at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you're in like a 14-team league, you can drop Zeke. It's fine.
He's not gonna do anything. Zeke is the last running back available, just get rid of him.
I don't see, like, I just picked up Jeremy McNichols today and I'm starting him this week.
49ers legend.
Wow.
Oh yeah. You know it. You
that's,
know it.
That's absolutely yuck. Crazy.
Okay, yuck, dude.
Let's get to West Sac Kings fan. If healthy, Tucker Kraft or Evan Engram in a PPR league. Man, you guys have some bad teams. That's all I gotta say.
Dude, that's what I'm scrolling these questions and a lot of them are like, oh man, we'll save that one.
Are you in an 18 man league? What is happening?
James, how dare you? First of all, don't ever disrespect Tucker Kraft like that again.
All right.
Okay, Tucker Kraft, top 5 tight end this week.
What?
Okay? Just letting you know right now. Yeah. Uh-huh. I said it. Where do I have him? I think I have him in the top 5 this week. Listen, he finishes the tight end 1 each of the last 2 weeks. The overall tight end 1 last 2 weeks. Yeah, I do. I have him over Sam Laporta. I have him over Kyle Pitts. I have him over Dalton Kincaid. Yeah.
All right.
Kraft. Dang. Okay?
Now, I want to know if he's going to play because he was limited in practice yesterday. Luke Musgrave is on IR, is going to go on IR most likely, according to his coach. So we'll see what happens there. But hey, listen, the offense is doing its thing. He's very involved. And Evan Engram, limited the last couple of days. I'm not sure if I trust him fully in his first week back. I don't know how long this hamstring is going to last.
To Fantasy Friday for us, Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy answering your questions now. Hey, PW916, this is what I'm talking about. You got to sit one. Bijan Robinson, Najee Harris, Austin Eckler, or Tank Bigsby?
This is easily Najee Harris. Easily. It looks like Brian Robinson, he didn't practice at all this week, including today. He's a game time decision. But either way, it looks like Austin Eckler's going to get a lot more run this week. Najee Harris had the backfield all to himself last week in a good matchup, and he could not get it done at all. Like, not even close to getting it done. Mm-hmm. So Najee Harris, like, what after last week, that was the best case scenario. Can't start him.
It's not good at all. This is a good one. Let's do from Bryce, Lamar or Joe Burrow.
This is good. Burrow's balling, but Lamar is balling even more.
Bigger balling?
Bigger baller. Lamar, the Ravens have the highest implied total for the week going up against Washington. It's a great matchup. So you got to go Lamar. Lamar is absolutely killing it. He's the overall QB1 for fantasy so far through 5 weeks. So you got to go Lamar. And maybe trade Burrow if you can, if this is a normal 1 QB redraft league. See what you can get.
Great. Chris Ochoa, this is all last names, so I might need some assistance here. Wide receiver 2 and flex spot. Okay. So Keenan Allen, Josh Downs, Jerome Ford, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Nice. I like that. I am definitely going Josh Downs no matter what, if he's playing. That's number one. So he goes into your wide receiver two spot. And then between Keenan Allen, Ford, and Hopkins, I'm probably going to go Keenan Allen. I just don't know what to expect. First of all, it's a good matchup for Keenan Allen. We haven't seen him do his thing yet, but he's playing. He's running a ton of routes. He should be okay. Ford, it's just that Browns backfield just keeps going back and forth, you know, between the running backs in that backfield. You just never know who's going to get the touches. They have no identity there. So I'm going to go Downs and Allen, personally.
Okay, let's get to – this is a good one. Deontay Johnson and Tank Dell. I want to know what your Tank Dell thoughts are with Nico Collins out for extended period.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, this question, I'm going to go Deontay Johnson pretty easily. He's a wide receiver one play. He's getting the target share. He's an alpha. Play him. Tank Dell, listen, we haven't seen Tank Dell be the same player he was last year. Even – you know, regardless of the targets that he's not getting, if you just watch him in a vacuum, he's just not the same player. And it's worth noting he is coming off a pretty rough injury, right? And it looks like that injury is taking a little bit of a toll. You know, maybe he'll be that guy later on in the year, but I don't think he's there right now. So I don't have him in my, you know, in my top 24 wide receivers for this week, even though Nico's out. I think Diggs kind of makes it into my top 10 for this week, because he was already the wide receiver 9 in fantasy coming into last week with Nico. So he was already doing his thing. So, you know, Tank Dell, I think he is a solid play this week, but he's not a slam dunk, I would say. But hopefully he starts getting to that point over the next few weeks with Nico out where he can start earning some targets and, you know, creating those big plays that we saw last year.
Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy joining us now. I'm going to try and snag a couple of more here. Are you starting Jalen Hurts or Justin Fields this week?
AJ Brown, Devontae Smith back. You got to go Jalen Hurts.
Okay, great. I've got another quarterback one here. Would you play Caleb Williams over Anthony Richardson?
I would. Just hate the matchup for the Colts.
There was another one in here. It was Anthony Richardson or Aaron Rodgers.
I'm still going Aaron Rodgers, even with the tough matchup. Richardson, the Titans matchup just scares me, to be honest. Like, you know, he can get it done still, you know, on the ground with his legs.
Sure.
But I'm still a little bit worried. So I would go Rodgers, you know, with Robert Saleh's firing, who knows, maybe it sparks a little fire in them. Probably
that's
not.
That was going to be my follow-up. Does Robert Saleh being out, Jeff Ulbrich being in, Todd Downing calling plays, does that affect fantasy-wise how you feel about the Jets at all, or you got to see it first?
Yeah, it's probably going to be worse. Yeah, it's probably going to be worse.
Oh, I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry. You know,
Todd Downing brings nothing. Like, as much as I hated Nathaniel Hackett as our OC, like, I wish he was our OC right now. Like, that's how bad I think it's going to get. But listen, if you have Breece Hall, okay, if you have Garrett Wilson, everything is going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Don't worry.
It's going to be fine.
Okay, it'll be fine. But no, I think Breece Hall is a great matchup this week, and he's going to get it done. He's a good buy low, to be honest, because he has a great, great rest of the season schedule.
All right, I'm going to bust through like a bunch of tight end ones really quick.
Out of bed.
I'm not sure that was a good statement, but I'm
like, yeah, no, that's yeah, we're throwing flags on that. That's crazy. You're getting a little too.
Let's just go. Let's go quickly here. We've got Pitts or Ertz?
I'm going to go Pitts.
We've got Bowers or Laporta.
Bowers.
We've got Bowers or McBride.
Oof. I'm gonna go McBride.
We've got Njoku or Xavier Leggett.
Leggett.
I'm gonna go Leggett.
Yeah, I think that was it for the tight end. There was a bunch of tight end ones here. Okay.
You know what's funny? Xavier Leggett is basically a tight end too. Like, he's huge.
He's a massive person.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah.
I think I want to have this last one. Who starts, Jaden Daniels or Jordan Love?
I'm going to go Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels. Ooh. Against the Ravens. Yep.
Wow. All right.
Faraz, you're the best, man. Appreciate you. Appreciate you stopping by. This has been Fantasy Friday. Check out upperhandfantasy.com. Upper Hand Fantasy. The podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. Instagram at Upper Hand Fantasy. Lots of good little info and tidbits there. Am I missing anything?
No, you're good, man.
That's radio station every Friday at 10:30.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun, as always.
All right, buddy.
All right,
take care. We'll see you next week.
Talk soon.
All right. There he goes. Faraz Siddiqui, upperhandfantasy.com. There is so much info at that website. I encourage everybody to check it out. If you didn't get your question answered, or maybe you can't listen every Friday at 10:30 and you need to get your fantasy advice or fantasy questions answered, you can hit upperhandfantasy.com and they're going to have all of that for you. I wasn't laughing at Jordan at Jaden Love. Jesus. Here we go. 3, 2, and 1. Jesse, fix that in post, please. Here we go. Jaden Daniels over Jordan Love. I was laughing at what James said.
Yeah.
That
My bad.
A crazy, crazy thing to say, bro.
Thanks.
Again, awesome questions, everybody. There were way too many in there to get to. We'll try and answer some while commercials are on. We'll try and answer some more questions at ESPN 1320, youtube.com/ESPN 1320. Can't guarantee we'll get to all of them.
Yeah.
Can't guarantee we'll be right, but we'll have a little fun with that. There's a Kings preseason game tonight against the Warriors, and we got to talk about it. We've barely gotten into it. We'll talk about that next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Second hour of The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, coming up on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.